Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Well, the great outdoors not so great today with the rain and the cold, but right around the corner, it's going to get warmer. And folks are going to be hitting the lakes and the rivers and the oceans on their boats. And Major Billy Downer is here tonight from DNR to talk about boating safety here in South Carolina. How are you?
I'm doing great tonight. It does not seem like the time to talk about boating safety, but it's been very warm the last couple of days. But, you know, it's going to get cold again tonight. But just want to bring up some of the information that's going around the state right now to keep people aware of some of the changes that could possibly be coming. Involving boating safety. So there's been a lot of buzz lately among local lake communities across the state about the increased need for boating safety. Specifically, one of the latest concerns has been the 50-foot rule on our lakes and waterways. So what's the 50-foot rule? What are we talking about? Currently, it is illegal to operate a boat in excess of idle speed within 50 feet of a moored or anchored vessel, wharf, dock, bulkhead, pier, or person in the water, or within 100 yards of the Atlantic coastline. So basically, boats are not allowed to bring a wake closer than 50 feet. So they have to be at idle speed when they're within 50 feet of a pier, a dock, on a lake. Because for obvious reasons, when boats, if you're going faster than idle speed, you're going to have a wake that could cause damage to dock boats, to persons swimming in the water, the shoreline, all those types of things. So, again, this has been an increased need. A lot of folks see the need for extending the no-wake zone to 100 feet. So, basically, they want it to be more, not 50, but 100. Mm-hmm. And DNR supports that. So, in response to these concerns, there's actually a bill, H-4737, moving its way through the legislature now. So far, it's drummed up a lot of support. The bill passed through the House and is now on its way through the Senate. This bill would change the distance if it passes. It has not passed yet, but if it passes, to 100 feet on most of our major lakes across the state and 150 feet on Lake Wylie, while leaving the current distance of 50 feet in place on the intracoastal waterway and in our narrower river systems. So, again, this is a bill that's changing our the no-wake zone, basically, the 50-foot rule. It would move it to 100 feet, pushing it out further from docks. And the thing about that, we have to be concerned when you think about changing no wake. A lot of people like to see everywhere no wake on the lake. And as far as, you know, they don't want their slough to be a wake zone. And this brings up a lot of concern among folks because you could no wake the entire lake and everybody just has to putt around.
So why is it 150 feet for Lake Wylie?
Lake Wylie, there was a concern there. The North Carolina rule is 150 feet. On Lake Wylie on the North Carolina side, they were trying to match it up.
Gotcha.
So that's the concern. Now, that's where it is currently. Things can change as bills go through the legislature. But, again, the concerns about wakes, and, you know, again, wakes are what the boat pulls behind them. If a boat's going at faster than idle speed, it pulls a wake or a wave that travels off in time. As you know, that wave goes as often time as it's going to dissipate as it goes further and further out.
Right.
But if you're too close to a dock, that wave's going to be strong enough to cause damage. And or could cause damage to my swimming, again, boats against the dock, those kind of things. So the 50-foot rule right now is in place, could be changed to 100 feet on a lot of our major lakes. There's specific lakes named in this, so it's not every lake, but a lot of the major lakes are covered in this. So, and really, when you talk about wakes, the newest attention on wakes has been brought on by it's not necessarily a new boat, but a more popular boat in the industry now is wake boats. And so as we're going through this and listening to the different lake communities and the lake house owners, there's a lot of concern about quote-unquote wake boats. So a wake boat, you know, again, every boat creates a wake if it's going at going faster than idle speed. But a wake boat is specifically designed to create a large wake or wave behind the boat, which allows people to be able to ski, to wakeboard, or literally in some cases they actually surf behind the boat. Without any rope. They just surf. That's that big of a boat. Now, again, let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with wake boats. I'm not talking bad about wake boats. I'm just saying there's a lot of concern among lake front property owners about wake boats.
A typical wake boat will throw out how large a wake?
Oh, those wakes can be, they can be 5 feet deep, literally. Yeah. And the reason's this. So, again, I'm not talking bad about wake boats. We're just going to talk about the issue for a minute and the concerns about wake boats because they do create a larger wave behind the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they do that is they actually allow the boats have bladders that fill up with water that weight the back of the boat down and cause it to push more water out behind it. Mm-hmm. So it creates this nice wave, which allows you to do, you know, fun skiing. It allows you to wakeboard and literally surf behind the boat. Now, again, I'm not against wake boats because I'd have to be against my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They go on a wake boat up. She's learned to wakeboard and surf behind a wake boat up on Lake Hartwell at Clemson while she was there. So my daughter's among these groups that like to enjoy these boats. But what we need to understand is that bigger weight that they create is something that a wake boat owner or operator needs to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on the lake, go out to open water to wakeboard. You know, don't go in tight constricted areas where that larger wave you're creating may drift into a dock and cause damage. Even though you may be outside the safety zone, in other words, you may be legally okay. Again, it's an ethical thing. Don't be taking a wake in a place that's too tight.
Mm-hmm.
Take those boats and go out on the open water. Again, you know, the larger waves have the potential to cause damage to docks and shorelines. So here's the message again. We just all need to be conscious about our wakes that the boats create, whether it's a wake boat or a regular boat. I mean, it doesn't matter if you own a John boat, a ski boat, or a pleasure boat, or even a jet ski. You know, you have to be concerned with your wake when you get close to shoreline and when you get close to other docks. That's what the 50-foot rule is in place to make sure people stay at least 50 feet away from a dock when they're greater than idle speed. Now, if it goes to 100 feet, that safety zone will continue and go further out. So that's kind of where we are right now. There's a lot of concern about that, a lot of folks weighing in on that. Again, most of your property owners around the lakes across the state, the larger lakes, Lake Hartwell, Lake Kiwi, Lake Marion, Lake Murray, these folks are all concerned about these wakes being brought in and damaging their docks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we want to try to do is get the word out that, hey, this safety zone could be changing. And again, you know, if it does or doesn't change, people still need to be worried about how they treat other people with their boat. You know, don't take your boat into a constricted area and try to ski where it's too tight to ski, and you're going to be pulling out wakes that are going to cause damage.
So if a DNR agent is on the water and sees you violating this rule.
Correct.
Or this law.
Correct.
What are you facing?
Minimum fine is $170. Pretty stiff little penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because our penalties have gone up. It's $170. It's actually a $50 fine, but that equals up with all the court fees to $170.
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum, and it can go up from there.
Right.
So it's enough to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it should be about, you know, if we were conscious of other people and other boats and what our boats wake we're creating. Again, it's not just about wake boats. There's a lot of attention on wake boats because they create a larger than normal wave. So that automatically kind of makes them on the front.
Sure.
But any boat creates a wake. So we need to be concerned about that. Don't be in constricted areas. Stay off. Again, wait. You know, when you use a wake boat, go out in the open water to do it. Don't go up close to shoreline where you could cause damage and cause problems with the folks.
Makes sense.
So that's basically where we are on boating safety right now. That's the update that could be coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if H-4737 makes its way through the legislature and comes out.
Do you think it could be enacted, if it goes through, enacted by this summer?
If it is, we always, again, we would be do a lot of press releases to get that out. But we always also typically like to give a kind of an education area there, a time for education, because you can't just slap a new law in there and start popping people with it. You got to give them time to adjust to it.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I'm really emphasizing whether the law passes or not, whether we change from 50 feet to 100 feet, it's really imperative that boat owners and operators, when they're out on the lake, they're concerned about their wake when they go out there. Think about that. You know, if we necessarily shouldn't have to have a law change if we were thinking about our wake and being concerned about it.
Right.
Stay away from those constricted channels and go out there.
What you're saying is basically be responsible.
That's correct.
For your own wake. And it is a shame when you think about it that we have to legislate that responsibility.
Correct.
Into boating. But I
correct.
Guess too many people don't do that, and it's caused problems.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about enforcement, you know, some one of the things we're talking about right now, I wanted to add up, you know, for the last part of this segment tonight is, You know, DNR is looking to add to our ranks in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to add more officers. We've seen a downtrend in officers. You want to be an officer now?
Well, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Do I get a nice
after the
gun like
3 years of education I've given you? You might have a shot. I mean, you're learning so much here.
Do I get to carry one of those sticks?
Not yet.
Oh,
not so much. Not yet. But you know, here's some of the facts. When you think about what our officers do,
mm-hmm.
couple facts for you. Mm-hmm. The state of South Carolina has 13.1 million acres of forest land and an abundance of water resources, with more than 8,000 miles of rivers, 460,000 acres of lakes, and 3,000 miles of coastline. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Division is the primary law enforcement entity responsible for patrolling all those vast resources.
It's unbelievable.
In addition, officers from our division are responsible for patrolling over 1 million acres of public wildlife management area land annually. And currently, at the end of 2019, we sit at 243 officers statewide. Now, that may sound like a lot at the face, but you think about all that land and all that to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
These officers patrol 46 counties, work all major holidays, regularly work nights and weekends, and get one weekend off a month.
That's it?
That's it. Now, we're trying to improve that. We're trying to get to a better situation. So, in addition to that strenuous work schedule, they also share call on weeknights and weekends.
Mm-hmm.
To better meet the needs of our officers and to our constituent expectations, we're seeking to increase staffing statewide to provide more effective coverage of our counties while allowing more time off. We're trying to get more officers so we can allow more time off for officers, too.
That's great.
Because it's important. I can tell you, as an officer, when I was first on, I hardly ever had time off. I mean, you worked. You were going out at night because mm-hmm. back before cell phones and people could find their way off the lake, we were out there all the time going to grab people. It's not as bad anymore. But our officers really work very hard. We're proud of what they do. They do a lot of hard work, a lot of hours, and sometimes people don't recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you fall into the first responders category.
That's correct.
Many times when there's something going on out there.
Particularly as we talked about in the last 5 years with all the floods,
mm-hmm.
the flooding in Mississippi. Those Mississippi game wardens are out there in front line, I promise you.
Yeah.
But so that's some of the things you talk about. You know, in 2000, for instance, we had nearly 300, I think about right, almost 300 Class 1 officers. At the end of 2019, we have 243.
Where are they going?
Well, we've lost officers by just normal attrition when people retire
mm-hmm.
and leave, go to other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We also had, when the economy dropped and after 9/11, we had buyouts and things where officers left to kind of save the jobs for the younger officers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys retired when they could.
Mm-hmm.
So we've naturally dropped down. We've had some classes in the past. You know, 5 years ago we had a class. We've hired classes in between there where we haven't been actually given a budget for a new class. We've hired officers to replace current officers to keep our numbers where they are. But it's kind of a, you win, you get few and you lose. You're always yeah. losing officers because people are always retiring.
Right.
But, you know, our, as far as our attrition rate, it's not but like 5%. We really do a good job of keeping our officers for the most part.
Yeah.
Of keeping who we have.
I would imagine that the people that go to work in DNR are people who love the outdoors.
They do.
They are hunters and
they do.
Fishermen, you know, and people like that. And now they get a chance not only to enjoy the outdoors and something that is like a hobby to them, but now they get paid for it.
Yes, but you know what, too? The ranks of our officers are changing, too. You don't have all the hunters and fishermen you used to. You have a lot of folks that want to be game wardens that may not have ever hunted or fished.
Really?
And that's a challenge
mm-hmm.
Because they may not know. And some people on the radio are going, how the heck could they be a game warden? Well, believe it or not, divisions like ours across the country are facing the same issue, getting new officers, training them up, learning about the outdoors. A lot of folks want to be in the outdoors that may not have had the opportunity to enjoy the outdoors before. So you got to teach them all that. So there's a lot of that going, you know. A lot of that stay around the country, but just some of the things you talk about. You know, we've dropped down 57 officers over the last 20 years almost.
Mm-hmm.
Our population in 2000 was 3.924 million.
Yeah,
3.9 million in mm-hmm. 2019. The population was over 5 million.
Wow!
So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the change of the state scene and how our officers are responding to that.
Everybody wants to move to South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Some of them need to go back where they came from, if you know what I mean. All right, we'll hit a break here on SC Wild from DNR on Sports Talk. If you got a quick question for the Major, 888-898-2525. 2525 is the number. Be right back.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
We are back. A couple more minutes here with Major Billy Downer from South Carolina. DNR, great show tonight. Been talking about boating safety and other things related to being on the water this spring and summer. You got a few more notes about that?
Yeah, we were talking about our officer staffing, how we're trying to increase our numbers. We'd like to see a new class next year. We're looking to try to get budgeted for a new class in the legislature, so we're excited about that. A lot of support for that. But just talk about the numbers. You know, 2019, our population is over 5 million, you know, 20 years ago, it was at 3.9 million. It's an increase of over 30%. Mm. And, you know, and so that's a lot in our state. A lot of people moving here. And additionally, in 2000, there were 382,000 recreational boats registered in South Carolina. 2019, there's over 525,000. So we've increased by 37% in registered boats in just 9 years. It's hard to believe. I mean, 19, excuse me. It's hard to believe how much our registrations have grown. You know, South Carolina currently ranks 6th per capita. You've heard me talk about this before, behind nations in registered vessels, behind larger states like California, Florida, and Texas. We're 6th per capita for the number of boats. So it goes back to the boating safety comments we were talking about. It's so important for us that we feel like to have officers out there for proactive enforcement on the lakes. A lot of folks, you know, we did our listening session several years ago. That's one of the things that came out of that folks on the lake said they wanted to see more officers in the water because they felt like that make the lake safer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, continuing for us, you know, continuing our calls for service increased. In 2000, we had 8,000 calls for service. You know, in 2018, we had nearly 20,000 calls for service.
Wow.
So it's just incredible. The calls, the call volume goes up. We've got less officers, more call volume, more people, more boats. So it's time for us to try to really do a better job of getting more officers out there to enforce our natural resource protection.
Yeah. And you, when you're called out, I mean, you're called out for things like trespassing, nuisance, illegal dumping,
yep.
Dog hunting complaints.
Hunting complaints in general, we enforce all that.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're the primary agency responsible for rural and marine search and rescue. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, in the early 2000s, we're doing like 2,900 hours of search and rescue. 2018, we spent 16,000 hours on search and rescue. You know, since 2015, officers from our division have been deployed in response to natural disasters every year.
Mm-hmm.
The thousand-year flood, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Florence, Hurricane Dorian, in the list. You know, all these events are officers on the front line. So, again, we've got a lot of support for a new class of officers. One of those things we want to say, you know, for folks, if you're interested in becoming an officer, if you're a young person and you think you'd like to be a game warden in South Carolina, stay tuned because this may be a chance for you coming up soon. But, again, boating safety continues to be one of the main points for us as well with all the lakes and all the boats we have. I think you had a couple safety comments you wanted to make about
producer Pat has a point well. He yes. wants to make.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pat.
Just real quick, I thought it would fit into our conversation. A close friend, many folks here have heard about, I'm sure, the Kaiser family of Lexington Chapin was involved in a terribly tragic accident on the lake September 21st last year. They started a group called Safe the Lake. That's Safe the Lake on social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram. Coach Dawn Staley right now has helped them get a lot of free tickets to help promote the site. It's a good place to discuss boater safety. If you go onto their site, Safe the Lake on Facebook or Instagram, for every 5 people you can get to join, they'll give you a free ticket to the Texas A&M game on March 1st, where her mother, Sean Kaiser, will be walking across the court arm in arm with the coach at halftime on her now prosthetic leg. Just a great way to promote boater safety.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Major Downer, we have enjoyed it, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Again, if you're interested in becoming a game warden, stay tuned. Maybe a chance for you.
A number to call?
No number to call yet, but when we open those positions up, might be a chance for a young person to do a dream job.
You got it, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Have a great night. That'll do it.